Rosh Hashanah, Elul, that's what it really is all about. Not to give up on ourselves. We have an opportunity to recreate ourselves, to refresh. If not, then why would Hashem ever give us Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur?
Hi, I'm Alex Fletcher.
And I'm Rivki Silver.
And this is Deep, Meaningful Conversations, powered by Town Appliance.
Alex and I wear a lot of hats.
We're both writers.
And speakers.
And so many other things, mothers, wives, friends, and active community members.
We love using our skill sets to bring you the best guests to share their wisdom, perspective, and advice on relevant topics.
And we love schmoozing about the topics that are on our mind, and hopefully yours too. Like one listener said, DMC is like hanging out with friends for coffee and talking about the stuff we're all thinking about.
So whatever you're doing while listening to our podcast, thanks for joining us for a DMC.
We're so grateful to Town Appliance for being our 2023 sponsor of Deep Meaningful Conversations. Town Appliance has been the go-to appliance store since 1979. If you're looking for a new washing machine, fridge, oven, or more, check out their website first and you'll see a huge range of brands and price points that they offer. And if you're in Cedarhurst, Lakewood, or Baltimore, you can check out their state-of-the-art showrooms. Shipping over $1,000 is free, and a non-minimum free delivery option is available in certain areas. So how to figure that out is you enter your zip code on the project page or during checkout on their website to see if you're eligible. And if you're not, Town Appliance charges a $99 flat rate delivery charge. Wondering about installation? We'll give you the details later on during the episode. You can find contact information and a link to Town Appliance in our show notes.
We are so grateful to Tora Umesora for being our sponsor this episode of DMC. There is a special campaign going on right now, and we are so excited to tell you about it. Tora Umesora has launched Share Hamalos, a campaign focusing on sharing the milos, the wonderful qualities and traits of our dedicated Rebbeim and Moras. Tora Umesora is turning to us to share the stories of our teachers' enormous impact upon their students and the future they are helping build for us, for our children, and for all of Klal Yisrael. Everyone has a story. I'm sure you have many, so you should share them. Whether you're a student or a parent, think back to a moment or memory that illustrates the greatness of our mechanchim and mechanchos. Now you have the opportunity to share it with all of us and keep the inspiration going. You can visit the website and fill in the easy form where you can also upload your video. You can also share your story via email, sharehamalos, sharehamalos, at toraumesora.org. That's T-O-R-A-H hyphen umesora.org. Or call in and record your story, 718-766-4554. So check out the link in our show notes where you can also read and watch the stories that have already been shared through the Share Hamalos campaign. We are so happy, as always, that you have joined us today for this DMC. Rosh Hashanah is around the corner. I think that no one can be in denial about it now. And that means that this DMC may be accompanying you in your kitchen. It is a real thing to listen to podcasts or music while cooking, right? I personally love it, but only if my kids are not awake. Like, I can only do it if I'm either at school, I can listen to it, or people aren't sleeping so early anymore these days because my kids are becoming teenagers, but fine. I used to listen to it at night, but that is slowly not existent anymore. Yeah. But if my kids are around, I have to listen to music because if I'm trying to listen to a podcast and then a child comes up and starts talking to me, I can't function. But during the day, if I'm at home and I'm in the kitchen, I love it. I love having someone keep me company in the kitchen while I'm puttering around and doing my cooking.
Yeah, I'm definitely the same way. I can't listen while the kids are around. And also, if I'm listening to a podcast, it's with headphones. But if you're listening to music, do you put the music on in the kitchen for everyone?
I don't have AirPods, so I never listen to anything in headphones.
Interesting. Isn't I don't so know. I just do it because it makes me feel like I'm more cloistered in my little bubble.
I hear that.
But I can't do it with the kids around because then I'm
totally
inaccessible. It reminds me, it's funny actually, once a teenager came up to me and she's like, I love listening to your podcast. And we feel like our content definitely can be consumed by teenagers too.
Yes,
They're welcome to listen. Shout out to you teenagers who are listening. But she's I listen because when my mother's cooking, she puts it on, and we all listen to it. My father too. It was very cute. But I do, by the way. I remember once many years ago when I was a newlywed, I remember speaking to like Arshul Robinson about how I don't feel connected and I used to learn and I don't learn. Remember
yeah,
that stage?
For sure.
She's like, listen to a shir while you're cooking. And of course I tried and I couldn't do it. And I can't, like, there's like a point, like in terms of my attention and brain space, like a podcast is just the right amount of intellectual stimulation I need. But a shir is like too much, like too much brain cells needed. So that's why I do enjoy listening to podcasts while I cook.
There's fun. I mentioned once to a Rebetzin, I knew about how, like, if I listen to a shir, like, I feel like if I get like 25 to 30% that I can actually remember or retain, I was like, then I feel like successful. And she's like, 25 to 30%, that's a lot, Rivki.
Wow. Look
and
at
I
that.
Felt so validated. I was like, oh, okay, yes. That's good.
That actually is quite good. We, by the way, as the co-host of DMC, definitely encourage our listeners to continue to listening to your shir.
Of course.
You should not.
We don't suggest this as a replacement.
Out. Exactly. You should but not switch out DMC.
Supplementation. It should supplement, exactly. But, you know, everyone has different attention spans,
yes.
And we respect that also. And that's why we like to provide content that's inspiring and helpful for the upcoming Yamam Tovim, DMCs that can help get you in the right frame of mind for whatever is coming up on the calendar. And we want the content to be accessible and easily digestible so that you can multitask to do what you need to do to prepare for Yantiv.
Amen, sister. Okay. So Rosh Hashanah, this is our topic for today's episode. It's the focus is finding focus on Rosh Hashanah. You like that alliteration?
I love that title. Yeah, I'm always a sucker for alliteration. That is true.
So I found over the years that mindset is really everything when it comes to Yantiv. And tying into our title, finding focus on Rosh Hashanah, that means for me, like, what am I choosing to focus on? Because it's so much of that mindset choice. Mm. What is my attitude surrounding this day? Yeah, I referenced before when I was a young mom, so I'd just like to share here too. Like, I definitely experienced frustration, and I remember once feeling actually guilty. I remember walking in the park of our apartment complex feeling like this, like, unhealthy guilt about, oh my gosh, it's Rosh Hashanah and nothing's going on for me today. Nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was too much of a vulnerability purge, but I just did it.
I think people will be able to relate.
Okay, fine. And the point is that there's light at the end of the tunnel, because now I've been married for 21 years and wait until you've been married 21 years. But no, seriously, like, in hindsight, I was totally focusing on the wrong thing. How I felt things should be, right? Versus accepting how they were.
The eternal challenge.
Yes. And finding new meaning in how things were. So I don't know. It was just through that experience, I think, of the experience of living life, just one Rosh Hashanah after the next, that my mindset and attitude shifted. I don't know. I think I naturally came to a place of acceptance, and with that new sense of understanding and growth that comes with acceptance, which is amazing. But I can't give anyone here like any quick fixes, like, this is what you should do and this is what you should think. I think for me, it just took time. Like, it just was the natural going through life and going through the stages of life. And I don't know, I imagine I'm not the only one who's experienced this.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Alex. Like, I think that really time is the one thing that helps everything.
Right, everything.
Yeah, you know, right. And we can't rush it. It's like, I feel like also with our children, like, you know, you want to tell your child, like, oh, like, don't do this or don't do that or do this or do that, and it'll get to them, they'll get to, you know, from point A to point B faster, but they have to also go through it and experience it in their own time. And So, like, you know, there's so many different phases of life with different challenges and different expectations, and it's always shifting. And I feel like that was, for me, I was like, when I was listening to you, I was like trying to think back. I was like, do you even remember what it was like 15 years ago? I don't even remember.
It's like a blur. All the babies.
Blur, Baruch Hashem. But I think that one of the things that I have found challenging but also refreshing is that it's always changing.
Right.
So I find it a little bit challenging because I like to have routine. I like to plan for things. As I've said before, I am type A. I like lists. I like planning. I like all of these things. And when everything's changing all the time, then you always have to be like revising your plans. Like, that worked last year, but it's not going to work this year because now these dynamics have shifted or whatever like that. But then at the same time, like, if it's a hard year or if it wasn't satisfying, okay, well, next year is going to be different.
Right.
So then it's also like encouraging. And it's like, okay, so this year didn't work. And then next year will present something different, you know? And I think as far as like just the davening and going to shul and being able to daven, you know, I've been very fortunate over the years to have different mothers who we've like tag teamed.
Nice.
Where like I'll watch their kids and they'll go for a couple hours to shul and then we'll swap. You know, and I know in early years I didn't even go to shul, but like I would just daven in a corner of my house where someone else watched the little kids. And I remember that was like a really good hack that has worked over the years. I'm still not at the being able to go to shul for extended periods of time phase yet in life, but just like those little snippets, and then just really appreciating like whatever I did get to do to try to appreciate that, which of course, obviously yes. easier said than done sometimes, but that is the goal.
Yeah, and I think like back to mindset, it is enough. Whatever you did, whatever you could do, Hashem is proud of you.
Exactly.
So, but I do think looking back, I don't know, I think I would have benefited from a DMC episode discussing these things.
I know, let's build a time machine and go back so we can benefit ourselves. But here we are.
Yes.
Here we are. And for a Rosh Hashanah episode, we wanted to DMC with someone who we knew was a wellspring of knowledge and inspiration. So it didn't take us long to think of Rebbetzin Slavi Young Rice Wolf. Slavi is an acclaimed author, lecturer, and parenting instructor. She's one of the most sought after and passionate speakers in the Jewish world today. Slavi is the leader of the Hineni Couples and has taught about life, relationships, and marriage for over 30 years. So amazing. Slavi is the daughter of Rebbetzin Esther Young Rice, Aleha Shalom, and she continues her mother's legacy of rekindling the spark within every Jewish soul.
That she does. She also came out with a brand new book, The Soul of Parenting, which we're going to talk about at the end of this interview. And we have a coupon code for you.
Hooray!
Thank you, Mosaic Press. You want to use code DMC20 for 20% off, and you'll find that link and code in our show notes. So here's our DMC with Slavi Young Rice Wolf.
Hello, welcome to DMC. We are so honored to have you. You really need no introduction, but would you just please introduce yourself to our listeners anyways?
Sure. It's such a great honor to be here with both of you on this wonderful podcast. My name is Slavi Young Rice Wolf, and for the past, I'd say 30, 35 years, I've been teaching, speaking, authoring, lecturing, and just meeting the wonderful, wonderful women and couples of our nation. I've traveled, thank God, Baruch Hashem, all over the world. And it's just been so eye-opening. I try to follow in the footsteps of my mother, Rebbetzin Esther Young Rice. And I just authored my second book, thank God.
Mazel tov.
Called The Soul of Parenting. I really try to put myself into the shoes of mothers and women today and couples today as they try to bring up the next generation of our people.
Which is a formidable task. There's so many challenges.
It really is. It really is. So many challenges. Right. But at the same time, you know, what a responsibility it really is. So I try to author and speak and lecture and try to just reach out and meet all the wonderful, wonderful people of our nation.
I think is so beautiful about what you offer is, on one hand, you come with this great legacy behind you of the past of your mother and your father, and you bring that to the work that you do, but you also so very much have your finger on the pulse of today. And I think you can bring that tradition and that Masorah and apply it to what's current and what people are experiencing in 2023. It's such a great combination and an unusual thing.
I appreciate your seeing that. You know, what really touches me is that we all have roots and we all have Masorah, all of us. Sometimes people say to me, well, you came from this family, but I don't come from that family, so what am I supposed to do? But we're all the daughters of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And if we really study, Torah is so applicable. It's really it's a map for our lives. We just have to know how to apply it to our lives. And whenever I study, that's what I try to do.
Well, it really comes forth in your work. So let's step back a little bit and let's talk a little bit about that legacy of your mother, Rebbetzin Esther Young Rice, Zeicha Livracha, and how she's impacted your life's work.
Thank you. I feel honored to be the child, even though now I'm a grandmother, a puppy myself, you know. But your roots definitely touch you in your life. So my parents and my grandparents survived the Holocaust. They taught me the power of triumph. It was never about being down or despair, though there was so much loss. It was really about what you can do in your life to make a difference. I knew that my grandparents came to this country after seeing a physical Holocaust, and they came here and they saw a spiritual Holocaust. So from the time that we were little, we understood that you have a mission in this world. Everybody has someone they can touch. Somehow Everyone has a talent. Everybody has potential inside to make a difference, even with a smile, where you welcome somebody and you're saying, I'm happy to see you. From the time that we were little, we understood that you can dream and you can have visions, and one person can make a difference. Mm. I always knew that growing up. Don't limit yourself. Like, reach for the stars and dream big. Know that you can really do something great for Am Yisrael, and at the same time, put your family into a high priority. Because sometimes when you do for your people, you forget about those who are closest to you. And that balance is very important to have. To this day, I try very hard to make a difference in this world, both for my family and for everybody that I meet, the couples I teach, the women that I teach, wherever I go in the world. You can't limit yourself. So if anybody would have said to me, oh, you're going to write a parenting book, you know, years ago, I'd say, really? I don't know about that. But then you do and you try. And if Hashem wants it to happen, it's going to happen.
Hmm. Wow.
I just find that so encouraging and just so inspiring. The blend of making sure that you're taking care of the family that Hashem gave you, that those mm-hmm. those priorities, but at the same time finding that unique ability that we all do have within us, and then finding a way to utilize that, and knowing that if Hashem wants it to happen, it'll happen.
It will happen 100%. And everybody has a gift to give this world. So that's how I'm still touched by the legacy.
Hmm.
Not to ever give up and to just keep thinking, what can I do to make a difference in this world?
And it's remarkable that your family who went through the Holocaust came out with that message for you. That is mind-boggling to me.
You know, that is really what inspired me to write my most recent book. Because I was thinking to myself, especially after COVID, there's so many people with challenges today who say, I'm so tired. And I don't have the strength anymore to carry on. Or I'm just done. How often do we hear that? I'm done. I'm just done. And we've lost our patience for so many things and for so many people in our lives. And to be greater and strive higher, we feel like we're depleted. But I was thinking to myself, if my parents and grandparents could go through everything that they went through, and they raised us with love, they raised us with the wisdom of Torah and never lost that, then what was their secret?
Hmm. Yeah.
So that really gave me the inspiration to try to give that to everyone of this generation. It's not just parents, but all of us, because I think to myself that when you parent your soul, your neshama, that's really parenting too. All of us are parenting our neshamas.
That's beautiful. I really love that.
How do you parent your neshama?
not to just, like we said before, give up.
Mm-hmm.
To say, you know, that's who I am. I'm just somebody who loses my temper. I'm just somebody who loses my patience. I'm not a good davener. I came from dysfunction. So what do you want from me? Rosh Hashanah, Elul, that's what it really is all about. Not to give up on ourselves. We have an opportunity to recreate ourselves, to refresh. If not, then why would Hashem ever give us Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Hashem expects us to mess up. We're human beings. Mm-hmm. But then how do we react? We come to this time of the year. It's such a gift where we can parent our souls, our neshamas, and say, okay, maybe this year I wasn't so great in, and everybody has something else. Nobody's perfect. We're not malachim. Nobody's an angel. But instead of accepting that and saying, I give up, or that's just who I am. My mother was like that. My father was like that. I came from that kind of family. It's just my nature. You can overcome and you can override. This is the time of year. We have the koach. There's an added energy to do this time of the year.
Exactly. That's so beautiful. I was thinking that this is often a time of year when we have, Baruch Hashem, a lot on our plate, a lot of physical requirements to get ready for Yontov, whether it's cooking in the kitchen, whether it's outfitting ourselves or our children, getting the house ready, having guests, and then also taking care of the spiritual side. I think that this is a time when it's not uncommon for ladies to say, I give up, I can't, it's too much.
it's an overload just hearing you say that. You're right? Like, oh my gosh, I can't.
I know.
It's an overload. And women especially, we juggle so much. We have to allow ourselves that feeling, but also to allow ourselves to say, sometimes I mess up. Sometimes it's a bad day. Sometimes I've made mistakes. This past year, maybe I look back and I'm a little disappointed in myself or my reaction to certain challenges. But that doesn't define who I am. If I'm feeling pain, that doesn't mean I am pain, right? If I'm feeling challenged, it doesn't mean I am a challenge. I can definitely discover the potential and ask myself, okay, let me make a plan. What's my goal for this year? It should be doable, but allow myself that feeling of understanding and empathy. You know, we talk about empathy for everybody else. We also have to start with empathy for ourselves, but not to fall into a self-pity party. Everything's so hard. It's impossible. I'll never be able to. Because that becomes a dead end. Who wants to live life like that?
No, it's very sad.
So you can either say it's a big rock, it's a big boulder, it's stopping me from being the person that I can be, or I'm going to climb above the boulder and use it as a stepping stone to wash away that which I want to get rid of. And charata, do you know what charata is? Charata is to chisel. That's what charata really means. Charata means to chisel. So I'm not feeling regret, but I'm chiseling away at my neshama, and I'm going to create and form something so beautiful. That's the person I was meant to be.
Wow, that is a really insightful idea. I've never heard that before.
That's beautiful. Huh. Let's go back in time again, and let's let our listeners take a little peek into what was Rosh Hashanah and the Yomim Neraim like in your home growing up. And then what do you continue in your own home from the treasures that you got from your childhood?
I grew up. Of course, everything was so different. And I grew up in a community called North Woodmere. North Woodmere now is a booming from community. Young community. When I grew up, we were one of the only from families there. My parents were pioneers. There was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. Everything was Mesiras Nefesh. And I grew up seeing that, living that, understanding that, seeing sacrifice from my parents. Often we had to sacrifice. It wasn't a resentful type of sacrifice. It was more like, wow, we're on this mission together to do something great in this world. I truly believe that our children need to have that feeling. It could be any mitzvah, any chesed, anything a family takes on. But we're living in a world where everything comes so easy. You know, you order the food, you Uber it, there's your Amazon Prime, everything. A little Mesiras Nefesh, a little sacrifice, that chisels, like we said, the soul. So Rosh Hashanah for us, for me, there was a great feeling of receiving bracha. We would go to my grandparents, my mother's parents. I remember standing in line and putting my head down under my Zayda's beard, his beautiful, soft, white beard. To me, that was the safest, most sheltered place in the world. My Zayda would put his hands on my head and he would cry. I was named for my Zayda's mother, who was killed online in Auschwitz. I knew that from the time I knew my name. Her last words were Shema Yisrael. I knew that we have a purpose in this world. We're here for those who had to give their lives. How lucky are we? How blessed are we to be here in this world to start again? I think back now, I don't know if my Zayda cried because I carried his mother's name. He lost so much. Or he cried because I carried his mother's name and he saw so much life that he never thought he'd see again. Maybe it was a little bit of both. What do I carry on from that? My children know Erev Rosh Hashanah is a time for bracha. We go to the kfarim of my parents and my grandparents. It's right near me. And we daven there. We ask for bracha. Then my children, if they live far, they call, of course, and we put all the children out. If they live close by, it's a very big deal to receive brachas. I remember once I was giving a talk, and at the end of my talk, I was speaking about brachas and how during COVID, I wasn't able to give some of my children brachas. You couldn't have the contact. My children came in from Israel. I remember my son was standing outside. This was pre-vaccine, right? He was standing outside with my daughter-in-law and their baby. We were just talking through the glass. And then they went into the car. It seems like another world. Crazy, right?
It feels like ages ago already. Yeah.
Yes. And I remember standing by the car waving goodbye. They were going to my daughter-in-law's parents for Yantiv, and then they'd come to us. My son looked up. I saw his eyes glistening. And he mouths through the glass, "A bracha, mommy." I started to cry myself, because who appreciates putting your hands on a child's head and giving a bracha? So at the end of one of my talks, a young woman came over to me. She was crying hysterically. I said, "Why are you crying?" She said, "Can you give me a bracha all my life? My parents never gave me a bracha. I want to know what that feels like." We can do that for our children. Rosh Hashanah is a wonderful time to start, to give the people in your life a bracha. Another memory I have is always on Rosh Hashanah, because my father was the rabbi. It was a very, very widespread community. People would come from all over. You know, we'd call it the high holidays. It wasn't a religious community. If my father noticed that somebody was missing, it was a huge membership, or he knew that somebody was sick, before he would return for our Suuda, my father would take the shofar to go blow shofar at all these different people. I remember accompanying my father one Rosh Hashanah. There was a son-in-law of one of the members who was battling a brain tumor. Must have been, I don't know, 9 or 10 years old. I'll never forget it. We walked so far. My father's shirt was wet from sweat. He blew the shofar. Everyone there was crying. I just had these big eyes just watching and being so proud. We came home, and then we started the Suuda. Nobody was resentful, because we knew that this was an avoda. So how do I translate that into my own life today? You know, Rav Hirsch teaches that we have the same goals in chinuch and in life, but sometimes the conditions and the means are different. So it's not that our goal has changed. Our goal is still to connect to Hashem. Our goal is still to create a Mikdash Ma'at. Our goal is still to create a Mesorah. Our goal is still to feel Rosh Hashanah and Elul. How do we do it? I'm not going now, right, with my father to blow shofar and walking for half an hour. But what I can do is, before Rosh Hashanah comes, I can reach out to the couples that I teach and the women that I teach, and do a Rosh Hashanah class. So we continue the legacy. We have the same goal, but it's a different way. It's a different condition. So you know what it is like for your dar, for your generation, to update but not lose the Mesorah that we have.
I think what you're saying is so helpful for like young mothers, that it's the same goal. Before, when you were single, you went to Daven Rosh Hashanah, you were there all day. Now you still have the same goal as getting close to Hashem and like tapping into Rosh Hashanah, but just the means are going to be different, right?
Absolutely. You have to look at your age, you have to look at your stage, you have to look at where you're at, not at everybody else. Ask yourself this time of year, what is it that I want to accomplish? I think to myself, we ask Hashem, Zachreinu l'chaim. What is that chaim that I'm asking for? What is the life that I'm asking for? It's not just to breathe, to be another human on this earth, but what is the chaim? You know, David HaMelech says, Lo amos ki echya. I don't want to die. None of us want to die, God forbid, chas v'shalom. But he adds something so beautiful, ki echya, but I want to live. What do you mean? If you're not dead, you're alive, right? Not necessarily, because some people are the walking dead, like zombies. If I create a goal for myself as to what I want this year, at least for Elo, at least for Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, a small goal, then I have created life. I can ask Hashem then to grant me life because I'm invested in this life. It's not just about the oxygen. It's about truly living. What does it mean to live in this world? It means I'll make mistakes, but I pick myself up. Sheva yipol tzadik, seven times a tzadik is going to fall. It's okay. Do I have a plan when I get up? Do I have the strength to get up?
Right.
That's the question.
So I have the strength to get up. Yep. Yep, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit. You know, many of our listeners reached a podcast to get in the mood for an upcoming Yom Tov, and that's why you're here. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, you can listen to podcasts, you know, when you're driving, you're cooking, doing various tasks to get ready for Yom Tov. So we have such a wonderful opportunity to spread your messages. And with that in mind, you know, what's a message that you'd like to impart to Busy From Women as we're approaching Rosh Hashanah?
I think that's such a great question. And to, first of all, put on a podcast while you're cooking or driving is already such a step in what we said, Chaim. Chaim Tovim. Chaim Shel Bracha. Because you're taking your time and you're investing in it. You're listening, which as I'm speaking to you, I'm thinking to myself something, and this really is the message I would like to give over. When we hear shofar, what's Rosh Hashanah all about? We don't have vidoy. It's so interesting, right? It's Yom HaDin. We don't have vidoy. We don't have a shamnu, bagadnu, sleep, like everything about Yom Kippur. What do we have? We have shofar. That's one of the greatest moments of Rosh Hashanah. And when we blow the shofar, what do we say? We don't say to blow. We say lishmoa, to listen, to hear. One of the greatest mitzvahs right now for us to do is to hear the shofar. What is shofar? Shofar is that alarm clock. Shofar is that bell. Shofar is the cry. When we come into the world, we have a regular tekiah, right? Unbroken. We all come into this world with such hopes and such dreams, such joy. You see a baby smile, you see a little child smile, and then what happens? Life happens. You have shvarim, you have trua, you have a break. Things that we never expected, places we never thought we would be. Sometimes hearts are broken. What happens? Lishmoa kol shofar. Hear your inner shofar. Hear the voice within you asking to be reconnected to your creator on this day. Asking to be reconnected to the neshama that you've been given, that beautiful, beautiful soul. Asking to be reconnected to the people around you. Rosh Hashanah is all about reconnection. Take a moment just to hear. Hear voices around you. Sometimes it's a voice of a child. Sometimes it's a cry of a child. Sometimes it's a voice of a husband, of a wife. Sometimes it's a voice of a parent, of a friend, asking to make peace again, asking for reconnection again. And sometimes it's your own voice saying, I know I can do better than this. I know that there's more to life than this. I don't want to be angry anymore. I don't want to be broken anymore. How can I fix this? Recreate.
Beautiful thought. Thank you. What a great message.
I know, I'm all emotional now.
But you see, I think women think life should be perfect.
Yeah.
We hold ourselves to such high standards. It can't be perfect. To live in this world means we love. To love means sometimes, chas v'shalom, we lose. There's sadness, there's grief, there's a broken heart. That's the shofar. Hmm. At the end of the shofar, though, what do you have? You have a tekiah gedola. We're back.
Right.
We say, Hashem, I'm back. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to start again. Will you have me? Will you love me? Will you give me the bracha again? I'm so back. I want to re-plug. Hmm. It's like when the battery on your phone is low and you just see that tiny little red bar, right? That's sometimes what we are. Does that mean that that defines me forever? Of course not. We start again. That's what Rosh Hashanah is.
Okay, we are back with some more information for you about Town Appliance, the obvious choice. So, installation. That is always a question when you order a new appliance. Who is getting it in the door? Who is unpacking it? And who is installing it in your kitchen? So Town Appliance offers various options on basic hookups, removing packaging materials, and the removal of freestanding appliances in certain areas. To check if these additional services are available in your area, simply enter your zip code at the product page. You can see the pricing options on the delivery installation page of their website. And of course, you can always feel free to give Town Appliance a call and speak with one of their helpful customer service representatives. You'll find all of that information in our show notes.
So let's take a quick break here to tell you about our episode sponsor, Torah Masorah's Share Hamal's campaign, Rifki. We're going to actually share a story from our lives, okay? Torah Masorah, so count us in. So we hope we've all had that one teacher, you know, who made a difference, whether it's because they went out of their way to do something kind, you know, taught us life skills, or sometimes it's those teachers that were just amazing teachers and did their job really well that made an impact on us. So we now have the opportunity to share these stories. Share Hamalos is Torah Masorah's newest campaign to give our teachers the credit they deserve. So in honor of the Share Hamalos campaign, I want to tell you guys a story of a special teacher who really made a big impact on my life. Mm-hmm. So when we joined the From community when I was 12, my new English teacher, her name is Mrs. Levine in Atlanta, Georgia, from Torah Day School. She coordinated a little welcome party. Okay, at the pizza store.
Aww.
And it's like, you know, a relatively small thing. But if you're a teacher or if you're a parent, you can imagine, okay, she had some like in her spare time. I don't think anyone asked her to do this. In her spare time, I'm assuming no one asked her. She, you know, coordinated this party. It was an evening that she showed up, left her family. It's actually not such a small thing when you think about it.
No, that's huge.
And that one act, I want to say, it was life-changing. I know it sounds dramatic, but seriously, I was switching from public school to this From school, and all of these girls, I met them for the first time at this pizza store, and they were all so welcoming and so warm, and I was so excited to switch schools because I had met them at this party before.
Amazing.
Yeah, and it was
so thoughtful.
So thoughtful, and like I look back, and I don't think the transition would have been the same if she had not made the effort to make that welcoming party for me, and I have only like the most amazing warm memories of that party still. I remember where we were sitting in the pizza store. It's just so ridiculous.
But it's incredible.
Yeah, we sometimes like take for granted the little things that are, or big things that our teachers do to go out of the way to help our kids socially and emotionally. And as a recipient of that, it was literally life-changing. It made a huge impact on me. Amazing. And as a 40-year-old something woman, I still remember it.
Exactly.
What about you, Rifki?
I was thinking, well, I don't have any experiences from growing up because I didn't go to any Torah Masorah day schools growing up. But I have a story as a parent where, you know, not every child is really cut out for school, shall we just say. And, you know, I had a kid who just was kind of like, just kind of coasting. And I would hear a lot, you know, he's so much potential. This kid has so much potential. And
don't you love that?
You know, like, I'm aware, like, I'm not sure, you know, okay. And I remember at one parent-teacher conference, his Rebbe said, someday he's going to be an amazing bacher. And it was like just a little bit of a different spin on it, you mm-hmm. know, but it really filled me with such just like hope and like a more of a sense of calmness. Like, you know, he wasn't like trying to, it was like not like trying to fix the situation or whatever. Mm-hmm. And not, I mean, like, listen, fixing the situation also has a place. But in this case, it was exactly what I needed to hear at that time. Like, he's going to be amazing someday. Just hang on. Hold on. Right. Hang in there.
And he had a vision for your son. Yeah. And shared that with you.
It was just like, it was just like a kind phrase.
Yeah,
it was just
a
like
very,
a kindness. Yeah. Like, so easy just to say something hopeful to a parent.
And you'll never forget that.
I know. It was really, I really appreciate it.
So DMC listeners, we love to hear from you too. So visit the Share Hamalos link on the Torah Masorah website, and we have it for you in our show notes. You'll see all the ways you can share the impact your special teacher made on you.
love this. And this is such great imagery and such wonderful things to keep in mind. And, you know, so much about feeling and being present in a yantav has to do with mindset and how we're approaching it and how we can recalibrate our thoughts and reconnect. And Rosh Hashanah has so many themes, you know, the beginning of a sweet new year, the birthday of the world, Yom HaDin, this reconnection that you are mentioning now. So what do you recommend we could focus on? I mean, it's probably different for each person, but can you give us Al Raga Achas? What can we focus on during Rosh Hashanah?
You know what I realized? That when we're in Shul Rosh Hashanah, we read about, when we have the Torah reading, the Haftorah, we read about three women. You realize that? Sarah, Hannah, and Rachel. They were all remembered on Rosh Hashanah. Which really gives us a message as women. Then I realized, I was thinking to myself, when I take the initials, I didn't see this anywhere, it's just a thought of mine that I'm sharing with you and your audience. I take Sarah, Hannah, and Rachel, and I take the three first letters, and I have the word Shachar. Rosh Hashanah is really a time to say, L'metzeach al ayelis ha-shachar, which was Esther's tefillah before she came, right? To say, it's now dawn is breaking. I'm coming to a new point of my life. How do we start with Sarah Imenu? Something that is incredible if you think about it. Hashem pakad es Sarah. Hashem remembered Sarah. It's so mind-boggling to say Hashem remembered Sarah, because if you remember somebody, it means that you forgot about them. How can it be? Hashem forgot about Sarah? I mean, of course not. And here's such a beautiful message for all of us. The Torah doesn't say Hashem zachar. The Torah says Hashem pakad. What's the difference? Pakad is like a pikadon, a deposit. Here's a gorgeous message for each and every one of us, and I internalize it for myself. Everything that we have done this past year, every chesed, every time we didn't allow ourselves to talk Lashon Hara, every time we reached out to another person, every time we decided not to lose it, every time we had a tefillah, anything that we did is a deposit in our spiritual bank account. It's been accumulating and accumulating and accumulating. Sometimes we feel as if we haven't been answered. Sometimes we feel as if we're waiting for Yeshua. Sometimes we're waiting to feel that this pain should go away. Everybody goes through challenge. There's not a person in this world who does not. Everybody experiences some type of pain. If it's not for yourself, then it's for somebody that you love. Think of it all as a deposit in your spiritual account. When Sarah Imenu came to that Rosh Hashanah, it was Hashem who opened up the account and said, now it's time. Now it's time. So when we come to Rosh Hashanah, don't think that all your pain, all your grief, all your tears, all your tefillahs have been for naught. Perhaps this is the year that your account will have accumulated to the point that Hashem says, this is it. This is it. This is the year. But know that nothing ever goes for nothing. There's no such thing. Everything is counted. Every sigh, every eye, everything that you go through in life, there's nothing that is ignored. Hashem sees everything. Hashem hears everything. Hashem counts everything. Hashem pakad es Sarah. So Hashem opened up Sarah Imenu's account. We each have that spiritual account.
Beautiful. And I see this like underlying theme to so many of the beautiful messages you've shared with us, is that that brokenness of the shofar is very much part of life. Like, that's what life is meant to be. Is instead of us fighting it, why isn't this perfect? Why am I struggling with this relationship? Why am I struggling with this life circumstance? You're saying everything is accounted for, and everything is exactly how it is, because that is the life, sort of like the how life mirrors that, that concept of the shofar breaking, and then finally that, you know, Truah Gedolah at the end.
So what do you need then? You need intention. You need kavana. It's not that shofar is this magic, right? Hmm. that's just going to transform you. Because if it is, then we would have to blow shofar on Shabbos too. It's the tefillah that transforms us. It's the kavana, it's the intention that transforms us. We have to think about, what is my intention as I hear the shofar? What is my purpose in my suffering, in my challenge, in my broken heart? You can walk around life and you can just be broken. So what are you? Just a broken vessel. Or you can say, I'm going to take this tekiah, I'm going to take this shvarim, I'm going to take this trua, I'm going to make something beautiful out of it. And that's what the word shofar means. Beautiful, like shifra. Shofar is related to the word beautiful, because you can create something so beautiful out of the brokenness. What is the purpose of my pain? Nobody wants the pain. I don't want the pain either, chas v'shalom. One thing I did learn in life growing up, though, is that you can either sit in darkness or you can say, I'm going to kindle a light and create something beautiful. That's how I grew up. My parents, my grandparents came to this country after losing, my father lost his entire family. My grandparents came, they started, the first thing was inviting people to their home for Shabbos. We can all do that. You know what's so interesting to me is sometimes people say, well, you're so lucky because your parents survived the Holocaust. And think about what we're saying. What we're saying is, your parents survived something so terrible and they taught you how to overcome. It doesn't mean that we don't have challenges, but it means that you had a role model, many role models, who were able to light a fire, not just sit in despair. And I recognize that not everybody has that. Sometimes you're just knocked down and the wind is just like pushed out of you. Your breath is sapped. Your strength is sapped away. I don't negate that at all. I understand that. For some, it's a child. For some, it's a marriage. For some, it's parnassa. For some, it's waiting for a shidduch. For some, it's waiting for a baby. For some, it's a health condition. Everybody has something. But how will I react to that? I cannot remain that broken shofar. I have to become that tekiah gedola. How am I going to do that? Rosh Hashanah gives me the strength.
Well, I know what Rivki is thinking.
Yeah?
We can, like, read each other's minds.
What am I thinking?
What is that?
Just we're all thinking, like, okay, maybe I don't. I'm thinking.
We probably do.
I'm just basking in the wisdom here and the insight and the inspiration. So many of the ideas that you've shared today, I've never heard. It's just so insightful, right? Like, I'm learning so much. Absolutely. That's what I think Rivki's thinking. Am I right?
I'm thinking I love my job so much, and it's such an honor to get to do this. Thank you.
I love my job so much, too. I love to study, and I love to teach, and I love to share. There's so much beautiful wisdom in Torah.
Yeah. And I love that you clearly find such joy and learning, and then you give it over. It's really contagious.
That's fantastic.
I always say when I talk, I talk to myself, and then I share it with you.
Yeah. We're happy for the sharing. Yeah, I was thinking about with the tekiah gedola, like, I was thinking about how those challenges and those pains that we go through, they are something that helps us become a gadol in the sense of, like, because then we can, when we do, as you said, Rebetzin, like, use it to grow and use it to become more acutely attuned to be sensitive to other people and what they might be going through, and to look beyond ourselves and to use it to chisel and our neshama, and to be better.
Think about it. What is shofar? We blow. What are we blowing? We're blowing air. Why? Because the first time that we had a neshama, what did Hashem do? Hashem blew. That's what the Torah tells us. Mm-hmm. Hashem blew into Adam HaRishon. So all of us now have that breath of Hashem within us. Now we're saying, Hashem, I'm going to blow back that neshama that you've given me. And you know what I'm going to do with that air? I'm going to make a sound. I can't even tell you in words what I'm feeling and what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. Sometimes all we have is a sound. Shema Koleinu. Why do we say Shema Koleinu? Listen to my call. Listen to my voice. Why don't we say, listen to my words. Listen to my tefillas. Because sometimes the purest of the pure is just to have that sound. I'm going to give that air, that neshama back to you, Hashem. I'm blowing back. And I'm going to try to make the most beautiful sound with that. Now, help me. Help me. Help me create words with that. Help me create a sound with that. Help me create a life with that and purpose with that. Help me get over whatever it is that I'm going through. Hashem loves us, and Hashem wants us to succeed and to be the person that we were meant to be. We're on the same side here.
Well, you've shared a lot of ideas, for sure, about Yantav, about Rosh Hashanah particularly. Is there, would you say, like one idea about Rosh Hashanah that would change our entire perception of the day? And if so, what would it be?
I would say that, you know, back to shofar, because that really is the mitzvah. Every Yantav has its mitzvah, right? Sukkos, we sit in the sukkah. Pesach, we have maror. And we have the Haggadah, and we have matzah. Sukkos, we also have a lulav esrog, right? Every yontif, we try to have something tangible. Hanukkah, we have the menorah. So what's tangible here? Hashem knows us, knows our personalities. You need something tangible in order to create a reality. We have the simanim, and we have the shofar. It's hard to sit in shul all day and have the kavana. I get that. Tiku b'chodesh shofar. Look at the word chodesh. It's related to the word chadash. I ask that everyone listening right now understand that we are given an opportunity to be chadash, all new. Everything that happened, happened. It makes me so sad sometimes when I'll meet someone who will say, you know, my mother screamed, my grandmother screamed, I came from a dysfunctional home, this is just who I am, I've done this for 5 years, I messed up my life, I haven't been the mother that I wanted to be, the wife that I wanted to be, I'll never find a shidduch. We just give up so easily, we awfulize. We don't believe that things can really change. Tiku b'chodesh shofar means chadash. Yes, there is a possibility for renewal. Don't sit in darkness in your life. There's hope. But how do you find hope? The word hope in Lashon Kodesh, because Lashon Kodesh is Hashem's language. It gives us so many secrets for life. Mm-hmm. What's the word for hope? Tikva. What is the root of the word tikva? The shorish is Kav. What's a kav? Kav is a line. Like if you go to Israel and you say, Tainli Kav, you know, give me a line on the phone, right? Yeah. I need a connection. A kav is a line, is a connection. As long as you're connected, there's hope. Keep connected to Hashem. And then you will be okay. How do you keep connected? Maybe it's a 5-minute podcast. Maybe it's this podcast that's going to pick you up. Maybe it's a 5-minute tefillah that you could just say in the morning. And someone says to me, oh, I'm not a davener. I don't have time. I haven't davened for years. Okay. What could you do now to be chadash so that you don't sit in the same old, same old? What could you do differently right now? Open your eyes. Find passion again. We've lost our passion. Without passion, there's no inspiration. How do you raise a generation when you yourself don't have the passion? It's just the same old, same old. I'll go back to Lashon Kodesh again because I love it, how it gives us meaning for our life. The word old is yashan. It's yashan. It's old, right? I don't eat yashan. I do eat yashan. Yashan also means what? To sleep. To be old is not about years. You could be 60, 70, 80, 90, and you're not as old as a 20-year-old who's sleeping through life, a 30-year-old. What does it mean to sleep through life? It means I'm the same person that I was a year ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. The same things get me upset. The same things get me angry. I fall into the same patterns of gossip. I fall into the same pattern of dysfunction. I fall into the same pattern of putting myself down. Let's stop. Chadash. Let's be new. Let's not sleep through life. Let's not have regrets to say, wow, when I was at that point, at that Rosh Hashanah, which is right now, I could have made a difference in my life. Well, you can do that. I can do that. But we have to have determination not to sleep through life, not to be yashan. I think if we really feel that we want to be different, look at children, right? You tell a child you're going to have to wake up for the bus at 7:30. Bus is coming 7:30. You have to get up on time. You know, in the beginning, it's easy in the beginning of a school year. And then as the sky gets dark, it gets cold. It's so difficult, even for ourselves. Now tell the same child, you're going to go on a trip. We have to catch a flight at 6 in the morning. They're down at 5 a.m., right? Dressed, they have their bag, they're ready to go. What's the difference? The difference is that there is a ratzon, there's a desire. If you have a desire, you can do everything and be everything. Tap into your desire to be greater in this world. Tap into your desire to do that which you really want to do. We began this podcast by talking about hopes and dreams and visions. What's your hope? What's your dream? How do you connect to Hashem, to yourself, to the people around you? There are three relationships you have. There's the relationship with yourself, the relationship with the people around you, and your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Choose one little act that you can do that will create that connection in these three directions. You know what a simple way is? Just not to complain. Let's say for Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, catch yourself from complaining. Why do I say that? Because it saps the joy out of our life. It takes away our bracha. We're asking Hashem for life. We're asking Hashem for bracha. And then we complain about everything. Oh, that was a great vacation, but the kids are wonderful, but I went to PTA. The teacher said this, but she said that about that. You know, why do we always take the joy away with a complaint? How about just saying it was great? It was wonderful. It was a beautiful Shabbos. It was a great wedding. We had a super time together. It was just a shiur that I just gave, how when the Meraglim came back, one of the first mistakes they did is they said the word Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Chalav, you know, Chalav Devash. It's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Efes, but. We're surrounded by enemies. The word Efes means really what? Zero. Because when you say the word but, you're really taking all the bracha that came in the beginning of your sentence and you're making it into one big zero. So you can say, I have a wonderful husband, but now you're coming with a complaint. My wife is super, but it was a great date, but we had a beautiful Shabbos together, but I love my mother-in-law, but. And once you start with that Efes, then you negate the bracha that you have in life. Even if we come with this little action, okay, my words, I'm going to watch. I will not say the word but Efes through Aseres Yemei Tshuva. I'm going to just take the bracha. I'm going to say, Hashem, any bracha, any good that you give me, any joy that I have, I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to appreciate it. We'll have a karas hatov so that Hashem gives us more bracha.
I love this.
Such a great tip. Should we try it, Rivki?
Yes.
If you catch me complaining to Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you just remind me, okay?
Out of your mouth, exactly. Oh, gosh. I'm so sad that this conversation is coming to an end. It's been such an absolute delight. Before we go, We do want to mention that you just published a magnificent book on parenting called The Soul of Parenting, Timeless Wisdom for Raising Today's Children. I just got it in my hands on Friday, and I've devoured most of it already over Shabbos. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, why am I reading it on Shabbos? Because now I can't like mark what I want to go back and look at again. Right. But I'm going to go back and read it again, obviously. So it's extensive. Like, you cover so many topics, from parenting and unity to the many challenges that technology places mm-hmm. before us. But it's also a very enjoyable read, with your style is so engaging and relatable and validating. Mm-hmm. So please, if you will, tell our listeners more about your book. And it's definitely perfect reading for Yantav season. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. As I said before, I was looking at the challenges that parents have today. There are so many challenges: technology, bullying, raising children not to be entitled, having derech eretz, what happens when parents don't agree with each other, how do you get through that, giving children a sense of happiness and joy, where I say that's not really what we want to give. We want to give them tools for happiness and joy. Even the simplest chapter, like going on vacation, I write about, because living as a parent means that you don't just give speeches. Our home, the world, is the greatest classroom. So beyond the speeches that we give is the life that we lead. I'm not negating that it's difficult. It's very difficult today. You have so much peer pressure, social media, even for parents, when you think that the whole world around you is dancing and you're the only one who's sitting there with a child who threw up, or a child, you go to a PTA and you hear something and you think everybody else is walking out with something so delightful and you're the only one. You always think you're the only one, especially when you look on social media. Everyone's in matching clothing, having peace, and our kids are the only ones who can't get along. It's not true. You're not looking at a real life. But how then do we create a good life, a beautiful mikdash ma'at? So what I've tried to do with this book is to cover different topics that parents go through with bullet points, so that it's very easy to read, simple reading, so that we can understand how we can try to create the families that we were meant to create, to give chinuch to our children. That doesn't end. We have so much responsibility. We have so much ability. We have such a huge mission. How do you give self-confidence to children today, when so many define themselves through brands or things or a better life than somebody else? How do you define all that? It's so difficult to navigate. I wanted very much to put this all into a book for parents, and I believe that you can navigate it easily. I ended with a chapter called The Seasons of Life, where I really opened up my heart to my own life, my own parenting, my children, my grandchildren, what it was like when I lost my parents, what it was like to walk my children under the chuppah, to come to a bas mitzvah, different milestones in life, the lessons that I've learned. We all make mistakes. I share even how important body language is. I remember how when my children were small one time, and I write this in the book, it was a very hard morning. We have that. We all have that. We went outside. I said to my kids, that's it. Okay, we're all going outside. And my three-year-old at the time looked at me and said, Mommy, are you angry? And I said, no, I'm not angry. So he said to me, so why are your eyebrows angry? They see us. They read us. They know us, sometimes better than we know ourselves. I understand that it is a difficult challenge. We don't have to be perfect, but we do have to confront ourselves. We have to know that if I want to raise a grateful child, I must live with an attitude of gratitude myself. If I want to raise a child with joy, I must know what that feeling of joy is. I can't wake up every morning angry at the world or resentful that I have this responsibility, angry that I'm always tired, short-tempered. I have to figure it out, because otherwise I'm losing the joy, my children are losing the joy. I wanted to give that over And I opened my heart so that I would be able to do that.
Well, thank you for opening your heart in the book, because I just find, you know, reading personal stories, especially, you know, the author, just like yourself, your esteemed Revitzin, you know, but then you tell us and you show us a window into your life of just being a very normal mother. It's very helpful, honestly. And thank you for sharing that vulnerability.
Thank you so much. That's what life is. You can't be on this glass tower right. and then just say, here's my parenting message to everybody. You have to be one of the ranks, you know, yeah. and you know the daily struggles. But like we said, it's about Rosh Hashanah, it's about life. It doesn't define who you are if sometimes you make a mistake. If you read this book and say, wow, I wish I would have had this 5 years ago or 10 years ago, it doesn't mean that now is too late. Parenting never ends. It really doesn't.
Right. You're right, and you're parenting, quote unquote, parenting adult children.
Yes.
You can say that with confidence.
Absolutely. And it really never, ever ends. There's always hope as long as you have connection and love, unconditional love. I write about that too, what that means. At the same time, you have to be consistent. It's okay to discipline. It's okay. Children need to feel that safety. But how to discipline. And I speak about that in the book as well.
Oh, wonderful. And again, thank you so much, Revitzin and Salvi. This has been such a wonderful conversation. Thank you for opening a window into your soul, into how you were raised, into all of the beautiful ideas that you've shared with us that I'm sure you carry with you on your Rosh Hashanah. We've had this chus to hear them from you and to share them with our audience. So thanks for taking the time to DMCing with us today.
It's been such an honor to speak with you both and to share our conversation. I hope that our audience will remember our words together. I wish everyone to really believe in yourself this Rosh Hashanah when you come to shul. Connect to Hashem. Zachreinu l'chaim. Create a life that is good, meaningful, purposeful. Don't be hard on yourself. Believe in yourself and live with hopes and dreams. Thank you so much.
Beautiful. What an absolute pleasure. And just I'm like still just in awe of like all of the deep Torah thoughts and chedushim that like I hadn't heard before, mm-hmm. and that I am so excited to like go back and listen as I'm editing it and like reassimilate all of these amazing thoughts into my brain.
It's so nice that you say that, because you know, should we tell you when we're recording this episode? We're recording this episode the second week of August.
Right.
Okay. Our kids are still in camp.
Right. School has not started yet.
Yes. And it's like Rosh Hashanah, not on our radar, but I'm actually feeling excited about Rosh Hashanah after this interview.
Yes. Right? Same. It's like there's so much to look forward to. Something that Slavi said that I loved was to not give up on ourselves, because Hashem expects us to mess up.
Yeah.
You know, and how women always expect things to be perfect. It is not a secret that I really have to constantly remind myself that it's okay that things are not perfect. Like, I mean, whatever. I know things are not perfect. But if something doesn't go the way that I had wanted, it's hard sometimes.
Well, we know it in our head, but it's when you're in the moment. It's like sometimes right. really, really hard.
I'm like, oh, I messed up again, man.
But then we say, this is the way the world is meant to be.
Exactly.
Thank you, Revitzin.
And Hashem expects it. And it's okay. And we can do better. And I love that. And then something else that really resonated with me when she said everyone needs a little sacrifice in their life, because mm-hmm. everything is so easy. It's true. It's like, you know, I have Amazon Prime. Everything comes like immediately. And like whatever you want, like whatever color of sheets you want, you can just order it, because there's like a zillion different options. Mm-hmm. Like there's very little. There's a lot of things that are difficult, obviously. I don't want to say, oh, it's all so easy, because obviously you all know it's not all so easy. There's plenty of challenges too. But like to actually specifically have some sort of sacrifice, something as a family that you're like, we're going to go out of our comfort zone and extend ourselves to, you know, maybe do a mitzvah that's a little bit challenging, or to make ourselves a little physically, like give up our, you know, our room for a guest or something, which is a little uncomfortable and it's not so easy, but like to be able to, I think about people sleeping under the tables of their, like how many stories have you read in like, you know, books about amazing families, and like the children slept under the kitchen table when they had orchim. Like, so we're not on that level, not even remotely, but to touch a bit of that sacrifice and to see how it really feeds our neshamas and gets us thinking like beyond ourselves. I think that that's a very important thing. Mm-hmm. And the last thing that I want to talk about is how she said how Redstone makes such a difference. If you have a desire, you can do anything. I've noticed this so much. I mean, she gave the example of the child not being able to get up for the bus, but being able to get up for a vacation, a fun trip. And I think about it for myself all the time. Like, how many times do I procrastinate something and I put it off and I put it off? Because, like, I don't really have the Redstone to do it. It's, like, on my to-do list. It's something that needs to get done. But then, like, if someone asks me to, like, do something or write an article that I'm excited about, all of a sudden I'm like, I have so much time. Let me do it right now. I'm going. Yes. I'm like, okay.
Or I'll make the time for it.
Yeah. Oh, look at all these pockets of time that suddenly opened up within my day that I didn't have to fold laundry, but now I can do interviews. Like, you know, hypothetically speaking. What about you, Alex? Okay. What did you get?
Well, I was very touched in the beginning how she spoke about, you know, being the child of Holocaust survivors. It so boggles my mind that the message she got from her parents was that you can dream. Don't limit yourself. And to have that attitude post-Holocaust is remarkable.
Yeah.
Just remarkable. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if I have that attitude now. And also that you can do something great for Klal Yisrael. Like, these were the builders of the next generation.
Yeah.
I think that ties in nicely to what you're saying about the sacrifice, is that, like, you know, she's talking about growing up in North Windermere. Now you could get any kosher restaurant Uber to your door, talk about, like, quick fixes and all of that. Like, everything is available to you Yiddishkeit-wise. And, like, they were pioneers there.
Yeah.
That all of us in our, we should give the message to our children. Like, we all can contribute. There's something that we all can do for the Klal. Even though it seems that everything has already been invented or achieved in our firm world, where we, you know, we've got everything that seems to be down pat and very functional, there's always more that we can contribute.
Right. There's still lonely people. There's still people who need help. There's still people who need support.
Right. 100%. Right. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Secondly, she gave some very nice insights into the shofar.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's super helpful for Rosh Hashanah. I also love that she shared these insights with us as from women, because so often that's all we're doing on Rosh Hashanah is going to shofar, right?
So with a bag of pekalach, for plenty of lollipops for our small children. Yes,
exactly. So if that is our main Rosh Hashanah experience besides the sudos, one of the messages she gave was to hear your inner shofar. And when you hear that inner shofar, it's all about reconnection. That's really what our neshama wants. So ask Hashem for help. Ask Hashem for us to be reconnected to our neshama, to be reconnected to the people around you, to be reconnected to Hashem and Yiddishkeit. I thought that was so real and relevant. And finally, she talked a lot about the brokenness theme of Rosh Hashanah, of course, with the shofar. And she had this one line, and this again, post-Holocaust, you can sit in the darkness or you can kindle a light.
Yes.
This is so powerful.
So powerful.
So you can sit in the darkness and wallow in your suffering, or you can kindle a light and say, I am suffering, but ask, what is the purpose to my suffering? What is the purpose to my broken heart? Because we all have suffering and we all have a broken heart.
Yeah.
That's how the way of the world is, as she explained. And she tied that into asking those questions, having intention in our tefillah and listening to the shofar. And that the shofar is related to the word shifra, beauty, is that we can bring so much beauty and light through this experience of sort of embracing our suffering and finding the purpose in our suffering and using shofar time to do that. So many ideas.
I know. It's amazing. Here's this episode's takeaway. We're all human, and we all have those shvaram and trua moments where we struggle, but they don't define us. This Rosh Hashanah, let's chisel through the pain and reach for that tekiah of our truest selves and set an intention to tap into the power of renewal that Rosh Hashanah carries within it.
A final thank you to Town Appliance for bringing the season of DMC to you. We have so many things we need to get right when purchasing a major home appliance. And I don't know if you've been there, but I have done it wrong. Town Appliance understands our needs as from shoppers and is ready to help. The next time you're in the market for a home appliance, call Town Appliance. Visit their showroom if you're in Cedarhurst, Lakewood, or Baltimore. And of course, check out their website. It's so easy and convenient. Their knowledgeable customer support team is also available, just a phone call away, to answer any of your questions and provide guidance when you're trying to find everything you're looking for in your next home appliance. We've got all that information for you in our show notes, so check it out.
Finally, thank you to Tor Umasora's Share Hamalas campaign for bringing this episode of DMC to you. This campaign is really special. I spent some time scrolling on the website, and it is just so beautiful to see how many people have contributed stories, whether it's messages or videos, sharing the impact of just one teacher on their lives. It's inspiring for parents, students, and teachers to remind ourselves about the important role of teachers in all of our lives. Because, I mean, we've all had teachers, and we can all think of some of those special ones that influence us positively, the ones that we're just never going to forget. We have like a fond feeling every time we think about them. Or even sometimes it's just that one moment or one interaction that a teacher had with us that made a big impression. So take this opportunity right now to send a message or a quick video to Torah Umasora's Share Hamalas campaign and share your experience with all of us. It's the chizuk we need right now as the beginning of the school year is underway. Please visit our show notes where you'll find the link, email, and phone number to share your story. Next episode, we will be DMCing with acclaimed therapist, Torah teacher, and author Chani Jurevel, who will keep us inspired as we move through the Aseret Yemei Tshuva.
If you haven't already, please subscribe and follow our podcast on whatever platform you're listening to this episode now. And rate and review. Thank you so much for those of you who do that. You also can share the love and send a link to a family member or a friend who you think would benefit from our podcast. See you next episode.